Well, hello. Today is Wednesday, August 5th. This is our 10th podcast. Welcome to God, Guns, and Country. And I am your host, O, and I have X with me today. And today we're going to talk about a weird subject. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about our journey from where we were into loving and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So good afternoon, X. I want you to open us in prayer, and I'm going to let X have the floor to start out.
All right.
Go right ahead, brother.
Well, Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for just allowing us an opportunity to share. And we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And we thank you for those who are out there protecting that freedom right now. May you encourage them. May you give them wisdom. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, for me, I never doubted that there was a God. I just thought God hated me. I was adopted. My parents were junkies. And, of course, I didn't know I was adopted till I went into grade school. And when I went into grade school, I heard every stupid adoption joke you could think of, and all it did was sour me. When that happened, it made me believe that God hated me, because there's no way he would allow somebody to go through that. I went, well, you know the movie Lethal Weapon, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. In there is a line. Danny Glover says, "God must hate me." And so Mel Gibson says, "Hate him back. Works for me." That became the way I decided to live my life. Everything I did was to spite God. Everything you could think of, man, even including and up to Satanism and witchcraft, because I knew that it would make God mad. Later on, when my children were born, I continued down this road, drugs, alcohol. I was making 20 bucks an hour. Couldn't even put ramen noodle in the kitchen. You know, it was to that point. And I met a guy by the name of Richard. And I worked with him. And the first thing he told me when I met him was, "I don't want to hear no filthy jokes because I'm a Christian." Which to me, that was an open mark. I spent probably the next 3 months telling him every God joke, dirty joke, showing him every picture I could, trying to get him fired, just treating him like garbage, really. And as my life progressed and got steadily worse, I needed overtime. And so they put me in, I was working in a freezer, and sure enough, here comes this dude. Now, this dude I treated like crap. Every time he saw me, he would say, "Hey, brother, what's going on, brother?" And so when I walked in the freezer, that's the first stinking words I heard. And it used to irk me. Anyways, we got to talking, and I was sharing with him, you know, our financial issues. And he says, "Hey, I want you to do me a favor." He says, "When we get done here, come to my house. I want to give you some food." So me being me, I figured, oh, he's going to give me a sandwich or something. I'll go over there, you know, no big deal. I showed up at his house, and this cat had two refrigerators and two freezers, and he gave everything to me. I'm talking completely emptied them out and put them in my vehicle. He put them in my vehicle. I didn't even have to carry it. And he says, "Well, you're having a little girl, right?" And I said, yeah, I am. He says, "Well, come with me to Walmart." So I went to Walmart with him. We walked in. This cat bought playpen, changing table, diapers, formula, everything you could shake a stick at that would be for a baby, and put it in again in my car. And I went to shake his hand because, I mean, what else do you do? I've treated this guy like total crap for months on end. And he turned around and he said, "You know what? You don't have to thank me. Thank God who gave to me so I could give to you." And he handed me this little tract called A Personal Bible. It only had like three verses. And I was so overtaken by this because I never met anybody like that. Usually, you know, you treat people like crap, they treat you like crap in return, which is what I fed off of. And there was one verse in there: "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the job that I had, you worked on percentages. So I would pull real hard all morning, get about 180% of my production, and then go and hide in the bathrooms in the afternoons. And I'd read this verse. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, people at work probably thought I had the worst case of diarrhea for about a month. You know, but I'd be in this stall, and I'd just be reading this verse. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I struggled because I didn't understand what he was talking about. And it just ate at me. Only verse I ever read just ate at me. Finally, one day I said, you know, all right, God, so you're going to forgive me. You're going to turn my sins, you know, that are crimson to as white as snow. That was the other verse that was in there. And I said, if that's the case, then I'm going to go to church. But you're going to have to show me that you even want me to be there. And so that night, I came in and talked to the brother, and I said, hey, man, I need to know your God. What church do you go to? And he's like, nah, he says, you live in this other city. He says, you go to this other church. I hear they're pretty good there. So that impressed me, because most people are like, hey, you come to my church. This is where Jesus is at. Not, hey, go somewhere convenient that's teaching Jesus. They want you where they're at. And so that also kind of tripped me out. And so I made plans. I called my wife and said, hey, we're going to church tonight, which she totally freaked out because she knew how anti-God I was, you know. And she's like, what? And I said, we're going to church tonight. Get ready. You know, and I walked out of the office after making that call. And they said, hey, Silva, you got to work overtime. So immediately that just shattered me. And I said, you know what? I knew you didn't want me. You effing hate me, you know. That was my mindset. Yeah. And I took about two more steps. And they said, hey, Silva, never mind. So-and-so needs the overtime. And so I was like, all right, I'll go to church. So I showed up at church. Was kind of sheepishly. I mean, this church I had graffitied the back of when they started growing. And they, you know, it was a Walmart Supercenter that had been turned into a church.
Wow.
And so I had graffitied the back of it multiple times because, like I said, I was very anti-God. And so I kind of sheepishly went in and went in the back door. And as I'm coming in, the pastor's walking out. He says, hey, how you doing? My name is Pastor So-and-so. And he went to shake my hand. And for whatever reason, dude, I can't explain it. I doubled back. I was going to punch him. And the only words that came out of my mouth was, I'm not a religious man. And he says, well, neither am I. And that just totally disarmed me because what do you say? He's a pastor. He's not a religious man. How does this work? You know? And we went in. They gave the gospel, and I received the gospel that night. And I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing, because when I walked out of church that day, I was light. You know, it was just, this weight was off of me. For the first time, I was able to sleep soundly. I wasn't looking over my shoulder. There was just no real worries. And sure enough, my addiction to cocaine was gone. I mean, I woke up, didn't even want it. Alcohol, next time I tried alcohol, it was the skunkiest, foulest thing I ever put in my mouth. And it was straight out of a box, so it's not like it had been sitting around forever. And so God really did some amazing things to bring me out of that.
So it's like a living version of a new creation.
Yes, exactly. New creation, where he fulfilled his word. Because he took that burden. Dude, I had a lot of burden, man. I did a lot of stupid things that needed to be taken away. You know, and he did it. In one sitting, the moment I accepted him, you know, I can remember walking out of the church and everything was like brand new, man. And the stars had a new, you know, view to them. My shoulders weren't weighed down. It was amazing. It really truly was. You know, even smacking around my wife wasn't on my mind anymore. It was just gone. You know, I was a rather violent person.
So what'd your wife think of it?
She didn't believe it at first. It actually took her, I found this out later on, she played the part with me, would go to church with me, but it took her several months because she thought it was just a phase. And it took her several months of me not drinking, not drugging, not getting angry and smacking her around to realize that the change was real. And then she finally accepted the Lord, you know. But thankfully she did.
And you were... You had one child already and one was on the way at the time?
Correct. Wow. Yeah, our girl was born. Let's see, I want to say that I received the Lord end of August, early September, and she was born in November.
So did you have any church beforehand?
Only...
Experience. Any experiences in church?
Yeah, only as a Catholic church. My mom used to drag me there. I didn't want anything to do with it.
Was it an every Sunday Catholic or was it a holiday Catholic?
No, actually, she was very devout. Every Sunday by the year, You know, I was drugged there. I was forced to do my first Holy Communion and the, what they call it, the confessional and all that stuff, you know. But I did it because I didn't want my ear pulled, not really because it was anything that, that I believe I needed, you know.
You didn't feel the love, you felt the stick.
Correct, correct. Yeah.
That's ironic how the Catholic religion works that way. Are you close to your end?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
So I we'll go back and forth at this. Mine was very similar. I grew up in a really small country town, and you could go through school from kindergarten to fourth grade as a public school, and then you go to a Catholic school for fifth and sixth, and then seventh and eighth is middle school, and then high school. Little weird, really small town, about 1,500 people, and I grew up with a Catholic family. Mm-hmm. Now, they were, I don't know, Catholic in name only. I think Chino was what we used to call them. Where my mom loved alcohol. My father didn't. My mom did. They were argumentative. It wasn't the greatest upbringing in the world. But regular church, and it was put on an act. And going to Catholic church, I didn't understand it at all. I attended and I did my first and second Holy Communion and got my little special extra middle name. I didn't understand anything. And you know, growing up, it's very traumatic to, X will kind of expand on this later, the transfiguration, the actual wafer and the wine becoming blood and meat, and you're cannibalizing your Savior, this man, and they put the crucifix up there, and as a kid, you see this man, he's got blood dripping probably from every orifice in his body, and you're eating his body, and you're drinking his blood, and when I went up there, you know, and you got to take that communion. If you don't take communion, you get beat. And that wine, as a kid, you don't know what it is. Mm. You know, it's not the beautiful grape juice, the sweet juice. It was wine. All right. And they'd wipe the rim, and everybody would sit there and keep doing it. And for me, it was traumatic. So I figured, you know, I had to find a way to get out of there. And so I was kind of, you know, trying to find a way to rebel out of there. So I got to loving the offering plate. And seeing all this plate full of money, and my grandma would give us each a buck, or my mom would give us a buck, and I'd put my hand in, and I was like, apparently a young David Copperfield, because I could put a dollar in and grab one with a five and a zero, or a two and a zero. And back in the day, in the early 80s, I mean, you could buy a lot of candy with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We live on Dinty Moore beef stews, and I bought new fishing poles, and we actually kept the money buried in a can over by a trestle, so my mom wouldn't know about it. And eventually caught me, and they held me up by my legs, and beat my butt, and the church just cheered, yay, you know, like, I'd never seen anything like it. So in my rebellious stage, I was like, I got to do something even more, and you learn to do confession. And instead of talking to your Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you go talk to a strange man in a booth, you know, and it's really spooky, it's dark, they pull back the divider, and you have to tell him your sins, he gives you a certain, and he forgives you and tells you a certain amount of prayers you got to do. So being the rebel and vigilante I was, I made a poo-poo in the confessional stall as I gave confession and left, and promptly pulled up my hiney and went home and told the priest, called my mom and dad and said, your son defecated in the confessional, which was a whole nother butt whooping. This one involved an extension cord and some pieces of wood and different things. And so I learned that was probably not a good idea. And then the priest wanted me to be an altar boy, and I was like, there's absolutely no way. So I would do my thing, and I got into high school as a Catholic. And I still, you couldn't tell me a verse. I couldn't tell you a verse. I couldn't tell you, other than watching The Last Temptation of Christ every year on the television set, the process he went through, I knew that. I knew the prayers by heart. I had no idea what the words meant. Right. And high school, I used to follow, I still do. I love professional wrestling. When watching Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, I thought high school wrestling was the same thing as that. So I went to take high school wrestling. And my coach, being a national, former national champion and from our school and a big wig, I asked him where my costume was at. And so I wound up being really successful. I mean, I won state title a couple times, and I had a really good friend. I was the heavyweight, and the guy right below me, his name is Matt Sands. And he was my buddy. We were both big guys, and we would travel, and he was actually really good, not quite as good as I am, but we travel a lot. And he had a beautiful sister, and he's like, hey, he goes, why don't you come to church one day with me? And I'm like, and with Catholics, I don't know how it was with you, but they always had an opinion of every other religion. my mom told me that Baptists believed that John the Baptist was Jesus Christ.
Right.
And Jesus didn't exist. That the Mormons and spaceships, but they had something for everybody. And Matt was a Baptist. And he goes, hey, come to church with me. I was like, oh, so you believe that John the Baptist is Jesus Christ and he doesn't exist and didn't die on the cross? He goes, no. So anyway, little tiny church right across from his house. I actually went there to go see his sister. I want Leah Sands. She's married. God bless you, Leah. And it was really ironic. I walked inside that church, and you're so used to the pomp, the circumstance, the incense burning with the Catholics, with the flags up and down the aisles and the procession and the, you know, and you get in there, everybody's just talking to one another. And a couple guys walked up and said, hey, how you doing? Your friend of Matt's, hey, blah, blah, blah. It was a youth pastor and a pastor. And they said, oh, so you're new to the church. Yeah, here's a, do you have a Bible? No, I had a, my family had a Catholic Bible.
Right, the big ones that sit on the table. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So they gave me a Bible. They gave me a couple of tracts. They sent me home with a goodie bag. They said, you know, hey, we'd like to come out and visit. And I said, well, no, because my family's Catholic and they have guns and probably not a good idea. So that never happened, but they said, you're always welcome back. And they had a good youth group, and they had, the people were just so friendly. And the very first sermon I heard was on being righteous. And for me, it was such a challenge. And for me, James 5:16, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's the quest to be that righteous man, to have the ear of God, to be a benefit to other people. And I was like the farthest thing from it. Right. I mean, I was a good student. I didn't, you know, do anything, you know, overly terrible. I just did not like authority. And I was had a very bad anger problem where if I saw somebody bullying somebody, it wasn't enough just to pop them in the mouth. I'd beat them till I flattened them or they pissed themselves. I was like a punisher. I walked around and, you know, somebody bully or it didn't matter if they're five grades ahead of me. It didn't matter. Mm. I was like a little Tasmanian devil running around the school. So in this church, it took away that anger. It took away that aggression. And actually, they gave me a King James Bible. And I could not make hides or tails from it. It looked like, you know, some foreign language. And they said, you just pray about it, pray about it. And it took about a year. And then one day I opened it and I actually understood it. You know, I understood it for what it was. And it was, for me, it was a very enlightening experience. And coming home and being a closet Christian now, and not a Catholic, but still having to go to Catholics, you know. And then once I went in the military after high school, I was just, you know, I could do what I wanted to do. But that was the defining moment in my life. And it was probably, I think, one or two Sundays later, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I'd never really understood the offer. Mm-hmm. I understood the sacrifice on the cross. They never, in Catholic Church, they never, at least the one I went to, they never talked about the thieves on the cross.
No.
You know, you're going to join me in heaven, you know, and the forgiveness of sins of a thief on a cross next to Christ. That instantaneous love and forgiveness, I didn't know that was available in Catholic Church. So for me, it was a whole new world. It was like you're taught, you know, one thing, and then you find out that for 15, 16 years, everything was a lie. You know, the blood and the wine and the secret right. booth and the, you know, all the incense burning and very, very, very paganistic now that I understand it a lot more. But for me, that was my very first step in becoming a Christian. And when I did, I couldn't get the Bible out of my hands. I snuck it. I read it in the library. I took it with me on all our trips for athletic events. And I'd ask people questions. I wasn't preaching to them, but I'd ask them questions. Hey, do you know this? And I found out some of my friends were Methodists and some of them were Lutherans and, you know, and some of them knew some Bible stuff, some didn't. But we would have talks about it before we were realizing that we were evangelizing each other. But the Catholic religion, they don't do that.
No, I remember picking up the family Bible and starting to read in Genesis. And my mom walked in and said, you're going to go crazy. Of course, she spoke Spanish to me. She says, you're going to go crazy. Only the priest can read and understand that. And so I just put it up. And then I want to say it was about a week later, I had a real good friend. His name was Daniel. Last I heard, he was actually on a SEAL team. But either way, his mom just couldn't. I was a troublemaker. And his mom could not stand me. And so he had invited me to go to youth group with him. And I said, yes, and she straight up refused. She says, I won't go to church, and I won't take you to church.
Oh, God. But I remember that because only the priest could read the Bible. And at least that's how my mom was taught. And of course, that leaked down to us. And so to get a copy of the Bible was just something you didn't even talk about. Now, interestingly enough, I'd get all kinds of books on witchcraft and everything else, and nobody would say nothing. But let me pick up that Bible, and man, you'll go crazy. Only the priest can understand it. So it shows kind of the variation, because once you come to Christ, you realize that Bible, that holds the key to everything. It really, truly does. And like you said, you know, once you come to the Lord, you got this hunger, man, and you can't put it down. You want to devour.
Well, see, I had two little brothers, and it was ironic that I would bring a Bible, and they would have Dungeons and Dragons, and that was okay in our house. They could do Demogorgon and Orcus and roll them money dice and go into the pit of hell and fight these battles. But if I brought the Bible open and I'm just reading the Bible, it was, I got my butt beat on a regular, you know, and, you know, the priest is authority. But, you know, when you go to Catholic school, did you ever get your knuckles cracked?
No.
I got my knuckles cracked, my head slapped, my ear, this one here, actually had to be sewn back on because somebody had given me a sticker. And it was just something, it wasn't a sticker that I wanted, but I was in the possession of a sticker of a rock band or something. And it was something I didn't want. And the nun had actually picked me up out of my chair, but I was so big that I filled that little thing. So she picked me and the chirp and it tore my ear. And they're like, well, you know, and then you hear at the same time, well, God is love. You know, and you're like, well, I'm bleeding from the ear. The back of my head has welts on it. Right. And it was, you know, it was ironic that you get that feeling, but when I went to a Christian church, it was different. And I'm not saying there were pansies or you know, a lot of the guys were hunters. A lot of them were fishermen. A lot of them had ranches. You know, they're big, you know, tough guys. They had just given their heart and soul to Christ. And I had done that, but I didn't feel like I had washed off the Catholic. There was too much. It was always around me. It was always, you know, I'd go home and I'd have to bathe in it. And they said, well, you can get baptized if you want. Well, in Washington State, come winter time, there's not a lot of warm baths. And they usually would use the local motel, and it happened to be down. I said, well, I really, really, really want to get baptized. So I got baptized in a horse trough at 26 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And the funny part was, is the pastor had went in there knee-deep, and he had his waders on. And his fly fishing waders. I'll never forget, it was freezing. And I was like, you know, I said, this is going to be a little rough. My legs were kind of going numb. When he baptized me and pulled me out, I was never cold.
Wow.
I got up, I was warm. I felt loved. I felt like it washed off some kind of oil or grease on me. And when I had done that, months after that, that's when I started understanding the Bible. And I had given my heart to Christ. I wanted to follow Christ. I didn't understand the Bible. So there were these hurdles. It wasn't like a full, you know, I wanted to go, but there was like a wall. And when I started understanding the Bible, I took the Catholic Bible, which we had. And I don't know if you remember the Ten Commandments, or in the Catholic Bible, it's the Eight Commandments or 9.5 or something.
Yeah, it's changed.
They take the Eighth Commandment, split it into two, and leave out the idolatry, the idols. And I'd ask my mom, I was like, you know, what's, you know, going on with this? And every answer to that was ivory soap in the mouth and a piece of leather on your hiney. And then my grandma was the same thing, except for she was deaf. And I'd point there and point there, and she couldn't make hide nor tails of it. When my grandma passed away, it was funny, though. She actually started reading the real Bible before she passed away, because I asked for one of her Bibles, and she had, like, the Word. Remember the one on television broke it down? This is a staunch Catholic for years. And she started finding up some of the idiosyncrasies of the two different versions.
Right.
And she's like, well, I said, this is the original. And I said, this is the way the cat, well, and the way they explained it to me is the Pope can change things. The Pope can, you know, and I myself is like this. If you have a recipe and you're a woman and the recipe is good enough, it's handed down from years and years, and you give it to somebody and they change it. How does it make you feel? Feels like you're not good enough.
Right.
You know, and that's what the Catholics had done. And that's what some of the other, X is a wonderful apologetics teacher. And we've covered a lot of other different religions and how they've changed things and tweaked things and twisted things. It happens a lot. So get the original instruction manual. Mm-hmm. And the original one, it'll take you time. If you can't get an NIV or something that's a little more broken down, and just study it. But for me, I didn't get it right away. And it didn't wasn't an overnight thing for me. I wanted it. The hunger was there. I wanted to learn. I read everything that was in red. I remember that. The Sermon on the Mount over and over and over and over and over again. And that gave me peace. And I felt good when I went to bed. You know, and it was like, you know, you're given the rosary, but instead of going through a set of process of you know, inaudible, by the time you're done halfway through it, you're like, you're half asleep.
Right.
But it, and I realized that any time I could kneel down and speak to my Creator, the Creator of everything I see, smell, taste, or hear. And I, it dawned on me that, you know, when you want an appointment with somebody and you're like, well, I want an appointment with the mayor or the city council or something, they'll give you 4 or 5 minutes.
Right, right.
But at any time on your day, and you can kneel on your knees, you can sit up, you can stand, you can speak to the Creator of heaven and earth. Mm. And for me, it dawned on me, and I'm like, it became like a talk. And they're like, oh, you're talking to yourself. I'm like, no, I'm talking to... All right, guys, sorry about that. We got a phone call, and I don't know how to do it yet on my phone. Like I said, we are basic podcasters. We're great guys, good godly men. But as far as the technology goes, if someone can send me a direct message on potentially how to shut your phone off when you're doing a podcast so nobody can call through, it'd be greatly appreciated. But both me and X shared a similar, you know, we had issues as child, as children, rebelliousness, and the Lord changes both. And it's your own story is your own story. It's your journey.
Right.
And you just got to take a chance. So if right now you're thinking, not me, or God hates me, or oh, I've been in this silly other church for years and it just is terrible, take a walk. Be independent. Use your freedom. Mm-hmm. Grab yourself a Bible. Go through them and find one that you read and you can understand.
Right.
When you find that, buy it. Okay? And then read it. You know, and I would suggest read John first. Or read the words of Christ in red. Find out what Jesus had to say.
Right.
You know, and just kind of go through, skim it through, and look in the New Testament, find his words, and then kind of go back. You know, baby steps. But then find a nice church, a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. It might not happen the first time. It might not happen the second time. But you got to try. It's like a restaurant. You know, if you don't like McDonald's, there's always a Burger King. There's always something else. Until you find something you like. Anything. Women, men. You don't like the first one, find another one. You know, that's how the dating, anything is, it's all choice. But find something and find Jesus. Because it's made a difference in my life, and it's made a difference in X's life.
Yeah, it has.
And it doesn't matter what religion you currently are, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you study your Bible, and you not only just learn the Word, but you live the Word, then we'll see each other in heaven one day. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice I'll be the big guy with hopefully with abdominals, because we get a new body. But I would really like X to close this out in prayer. Just for me, God bless everybody that listens to this. We're getting a lot of first responders. We're getting a large amount of firefighters in New York, and a lot of police officers in Chicago. Thanks to my cousin Jeannie and her husband Keith, probably. And we have a big following overseas with our military. And we love you guys. Thank you, and keep doing what you're doing. And we salute you and love you, and we hope and pray you return safely. So I'm going to turn this over to X, and he'll close us in prayer. God bless you guys.
Amen. Well, Father, we come to you, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity. And I pray for those who are serving, Lord God, those who are serving their communities and those who are serving our country. Father, I pray that you'd have your hand on each one of them, that you would encourage them, Lord, when their hearts are beaten down, when their minds are overwhelmed, Lord God. Give them the ability to see clearly. Be with their families. Let their families be comforted knowing that their loved ones will return. And Father, I pray that they would not let the weight of everything that is happening in society just weigh them down to the point where they give up. Instead, Lord, let them serve proudly knowing that they are giving their lives for their neighbor, which is something that Jesus himself tells us is a sign of love. So Father, I pray that you would bless them all. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. Sorry for the two-parter, but we do love you. And next week, we're going to take a walk on the serious side. We're going to talk about the sexualization of our kids. And it's going to be a real serious one, so you're going to want to bring a loved one by and cuddle up and maybe grab a bottle, a pack of popcorn or something, but I don't know if you can eat after it, but... we're noticing Pepto-Bismol. There we go. X said bring some Pepto-Bismol and maybe some Rolaids. because we're seeing a lot of that. And we're going to actually have an example in the studio with us. A doll. If you ever seen the show, the Trolls?
Trolls World Tour.
Yep. We're going to show you a little something that they're doing for the kids. So anyway, we love you. We're getting serious next week. God bless you guys. Have a great day.